Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to an exciting episode of The Son of Oz. I'm your host, Dan. Joining me in the studio tonight is the lovely Miss Angel.
Hello.
We got a little bit back, it's all right. And we've got Alex joining us from his studio in the great state of Michigan.
Hello.
And we've got, of course, Austin on the live feed for us. You can join us as well. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. Or you can check out our live feed on the Facebook page. Behind the Screen Radio Show. All you gotta do is type it into the search bar. It'll be the first one that pops up. Click like, share, and follow. So that you can be kept up to date on everything going on in BTS land. Also head on over to Wikicuriosity Media's Facebook page. Give them a like, share, and follow. So that you can be kept up to date on everything going on in the Wikicuriosity world. From the Wikicuriosity Facebook page and access the website www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. On the Facebook, on the website, you can check out all kinds of pictures of us. You can also check out blogs and all the shows, information about the shows, information about their hosts and everything. You can also check out past shows that we have done going all the way back to the very beginning. You can also check out our YouTube channel, Wikicuriosity Media. Sorry about that. We're struggling with a little bit of technical difficulties right now, but we're working on it. We're going to take a break so we can figure this out. Hold on. We'll be right back.
I don't know what to do.
Strip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. It's not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me. If you love me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone.
Figured out. I do apologize for that. We're not perfect. You know, technology is never perfect. Every once in a while, we have some technical issues that we have to take care of. And hopefully, we've got all that taken care of. We'll keep up to date. I don't know what the hell that's doing. But that's better now. Technology. It's great when it works, but then it just starts buzzing like crazy.
It's kicking our ass tonight.
Yeah, I really, really don't know what the fuck is going on. But anyway, okay, so we're back from our, you know, quick little break, unscheduled break. If you missed any of the introduction, well, here it is in a nutshell. If you want to join us in the studio, all you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. That'll bring you directly into the studio with us, or you can hit us up on our live feed on the Behind the Screen Radio Show Facebook page. Head on over to the Curiosity Media's Facebook page. Also, their website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. The link is on the Facebook page and on every one of our Facebook pages in WC Media, so go check it out. On the Facebook page, you can check out pictures, you can check out blogs, you can check out information on the shows. You can also hit us up either by messaging us or emailing us at wicked_media@outlook.com. You can also access all of our shows from the very, 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 very beginning of Wicked Curiosity Media's career, the very first Behind the Screen radio show. You can also check out our YouTube channel, Wicked Curiosity Media. On the YouTube channel, we've got uploads of live streams from BTS. We've also got some videos of the hosts and a couple of other things, so go check that out. You can... Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, all wrapped up in a little nutshell. Anyway, again, phone number again, 718-664-9735. Okay. It is Wednesday.
That it is.
It is the middle of the week. Anybody have anything interesting going on?
Well, not really.
Tomorrow is Austin's birthday.
Party.
It's his birthday.
Oh, it is his birthday, yes.
Saturday is his party.
That's right. Yes.
Wow.
That's what I said,
so. So that's exciting.
That is very exciting. He turns a whole big 19.
Yeah, my heart's hurting.
Yeah.
Spent the last 2 days getting prom supplies because our very own Anne has her prom coming up. And so, yeah. They are getting... Sorry. They're getting prepared for that. Muted. With my big old double chin.
What the hell?
It's my phone. I can hear it through the speaker.
Anyway, yes.
That's good.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, again, see, people, technology, we are trying to figure, you know, things out, trying to get all of our shit together. So, we're good now. Okay, yeah, tomorrow is Austin's birthday, big 19.
Yeah, so we're going to have a ginormous meatloaf, probably about 5 pounds of mashed potatoes,
yeah,
some fancy rainbow carrots, and then whatever it is that he wants to do for the night, because that, so we have a fairly large family, and tradition says that I do birthday dinners. Now, it's not always that the guy, okay, that's not true. The godfather always gets a birthday dinner because Dan loves his birthday dinner.
Not gonna lie, yeah.
Yeah. So, and because he's, you know, the kid's dad, so he always gets birthday dinner. And now that the uncle is here, he's been added into it.
Yeah.
He always gets a birthday dinner. When we can, we do one for the guy in glasses.
Yeah.
But... the biggest part of it is for the kids. Like when Alex comes, he'll have his birthday dinner because we won't get to see him for his birthday.
Now, his is next week.
It is another 19-year-old under our belt. So, yes, we are typically, it's birthday dinner, birthday dessert, which doesn't mean cupcakes or birthday cake. It's just whatever they're going to have.
Yep.
And then whatever activity they pick for the night. Like, sometimes the littles want to do a movie night.
Yeah.
You know, they want to watch a new movie. Or they want to play board games. And that's fine. And then as the kids get older, you know, the choices get a little different. Austin's, you know, who knows what he's going to pick. He might choose to kick his daddy's ass in some phase 10. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. We can't tell. We cannot ever predict these moments.
No.
He could be like, let's play poker. I don't know.
I seriously doubt he'll want to pick
yeah.
poker. But
he doesn't really want to play poker. But, he,
no.
I mean, it
could
be anything.
It's not a game he can win.
Yeah, it's a game I can win.
Not against me. You'd never beat me.
If you give him 2 hours on YouTube, I bet you he could.
Right?
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
He'll beat me in chess, though.
Like, Anne's was game night and a very, very fancy crab leg dinner. Austin went with the home style dinner.
Yeah.
Listen, with the meatloaf.
The uncle was all out. I'm gonna
he changed it up on me.
House at the house.
He changed it up on me because almost, so the Godfather always has corned beef and cabbage. That is his birthday dinner. We know it. That's what it is.
It's always a week after.
After St. Patrick's Day. So we know we have 2 weeks of corned beef and cabbage. It's fine. Whatever. And typically, the uncle picks Indian tacos, which I haven't had in, like, a really long time, so I was kind of sort of looking forward to it. I was like, I can make some fried bread. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
He picked steak.
He picked steak and roasted potatoes and jalapeno poppers.
Which went surprisingly fast, by the way.
for a appetizer and then fucking cheesecake for dessert.
Now,
like, that's probably one of the most bougie-ass fucking dinners
Let me just put it out there. I like cheesecake as much as anybody else. For our family, Alex knows, for our family, we'd have to buy a really big cheesecake. That's easily like $25 for a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I could probably make a cheesecake. I've never in my life have I made a cheesecake. Now, I would make it again because it was pretty tasty, not gonna lie. But
it was a little fluffier than your average cheesecake.
It was. It was a whipped cheesecake. And I actually liked it better that way because it wasn't so dense. But yes, so we had homemade cheesecake. I made stuffed jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon for Dan to grill. Got steak for Dan to grill. And then I made like 5 pounds of foil-packed potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, mind you, the dinner was really freaking good.
It was.
It was a lot of work. It shows my love.
Did it on a day off.
Listen, my love was poured into that meal. Oh, my God. Alex, what are you going to pick?
Mm-hmm.
I bet I know.
What?
I bet he picks salmon.
I don't know. Might switch it up.
Oh.
He's like, huh, these motherfuckers are asking for steak and crab legs.
I could have to think about this one.
Let's see if I can out-bougie the uncles and
sometimes it makes me cry a little inside. Don't do that.
Well, I mean, you've got, you know, at least a couple weeks to think about it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll think about it for like 5 minutes and then totally forget about it. And then when I get down there, you ask me again, I'll be like, I have no clue.
Okay, you've got to think about it because I need preparation time. Yes.
I want steak that has been aged for 45 days.
Now, mind you, Austin's is an easier dinner. However, I'm literally making a 6-pound meatloaf.
No. You're making a meatloaf with 6 pounds of corn, of hamburger.
Yes.
Of ground beef.
Yeah.
If you add in all the extra crap.
It's really 10 pounds.
It's going to be like a 10-pound fucking.
It's going to be in like my biggest roasting pan. So
it's going to be literally a cake pan of meatloaf.
It's going to be so big. Now I'm out. My screen won't turn back on. Technology truly does hate me tonight.
Oh, Jesus. So anything interesting going on with you, Alex, for this week?
I'm dog sitting tomorrow. That's about it. Yeah, this week. You know, not too much going on at all. I don't know. I'm tearing up a porch. We're redoing our back porch, and I'm tearing that up and fix it all up, all nice.
Cool.
Other than that, I'm not doing too awful much.
So that means you can redo my porch when we get down here.
Maybe. And this one was a pain in the butt. They made it weird. I've never, like, made a porch before, but it was like they made it. They didn't make it right, but they made it so it's extra sturdy. And yeah, but it's coming along. I'll get it done.
Big old sigh.
Listen, I feel for you. And I did learn something, though. So
yeah.
You're redoing a porch. That means you're using, like, 2x4. Like, you're buying wood?
No, I'm going to... So we're not really adding on to any of it. I'm mainly just taking away and then adding stairs. So I'll reuse
okay.
the wood we have.
That's good. So I learned something this year because we had made a decision that we wanted to put a fence up because our dog tried to actually kill another dog. Not her fault. Keep your fucking dogs out of my yard. I'm not sorry, said what I said. She got a hold of it. Thankfully, it got away and it ran off. But then we've also got the same house. Their kids continuously come through the yard. Now, I'm scared to death to put the dog out because I don't want a kid getting hurt. Yes, you're an idiot because I've yelled at you like 5,000 times and said stay out of the yard. But at the end of the day, I don't need a child getting mauled by my dog. And she might. So we were like, you know, whatever. We'll just put a fence up. So the quotes that were coming in last year were one price, and the quotes coming in this year are twice as much because of the cost of lumber. I learned something, though. And I don't know if we have it out here, but if you buy lumber from the Amish, their prices haven't changed.
I don't know that we have very many Amish here in Tennessee.
Might be something to look into, though. Literally, their prices have not changed, and you can buy lumber for the same cost that we were buying last year.
Hmm.
Minus plywood, because they don't have plywood. But
yeah.
Yeah. Something to think about, though.
Well, we'll just hire them to come build our fence. They'll have it done in 2 hours.
Right. It's frustrating because if I post about it, and I have, I get a lot of Karen-esque comments. And I'm not trying to be that way. We have a large yard. Alex has seen it. We have a large yard. At the same time, a company came through, our water company came through like a year ago and cleared out a huge path well below our tree line, which is still our yard, but it's below our actual physical backyard.
Yeah.
That they could walk through. They choose not to. They choose to literally cut through like fairly close to our porch and our pool, and they just walk through there like it's like their own personal path because the backyards connect. And I've asked parents and kids alike several times to stay out of the yard because the dog is not nice. I don't know what to tell you. Some people just don't have nice dogs. I don't have a nice dog. She doesn't like people. She doesn't even like my own kids. She's not a danger to them because we keep her away from them. But she's a danger to your kids if they're walking through my yard and she's out there like laying down and then she comes up on them. Just saying. So. Just saying.
You're digressing.
I digress. Keep your fucking kids out of my yard.
About to lose your camera.
It's always like that.
Well, it's shifted.
Mm-hmm. It shifted.
It shifted.
There we go. I don't know. Am I the only one that feels that way? Like, honestly, this is one of those moments where you could comment on the live feed because that is a true question. Am I alone in this? Like, is that not a thing? Because when I was growing up as a kid, my mom, and I still do it to my kids, like, in front yards when we're walking down the street.
Yeah.
When they're coming home from school, don't cross through the people's front yards. That's rude. That's their yard.
Yeah.
And my mom was huge on that. We don't walk in other people's yards and use the driveway to go to their door.
That's funny you say that because I literally, not even, like, an hour ago, somebody was sprinting through our yard. But, I mean, I do live by school, but still.
You do, and if they were coming through your fence part, because you have a fenced in part of your yard.
Yeah.
So that does kind of give you that barrier. Like, obviously, if they're back there, they literally don't belong.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I guess it doesn't matter what generation. If you own a home and you're in especially if you're in a neighborhood, does it not bother? Front yards, maybe a little bit. I just stare at people. I'm bitchy. People stay out of my yard, in the front yard. I don't have that problem. But, like, if you have people wandering around in your backyard, does that not, like, bother you? Is that not a thing anymore?
I don't know. I guess it's just...
Yeah. It bothers me a lot. Like, We have a certain neighbor that likes to ride a four-wheeler, and they haven't taught their kid that boundary yet, and they got him one. And he just started doing loops, and then it further got out, and then he started just, like, circling the trees in our yard. Like, is pay for that grass. Like, we have to cut that and take care of that. Why would you let your kid just drive all over it and ruin it? So I think it's mainly, like you said, it's, like, with the parents. Like, parents just haven't taught kids that boundary yet. But
which is, it's really weird to me, especially in a day and age where it's so easy for kids to get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, you really just don't know who your neighbors are.
Yeah.
I'm a fairly nice person 90% of the time. If a kid actually came to my front door and was like, hey, would it be okay for me to walk home through your backyard because it's closer and I'm afraid to walk all the way around? I might actually be like, yeah, but just be really careful because of the dog.
Yeah.
Don't be disrespectful. But because I've asked the same kids like 10 times to stay the fuck out of the yard because the dog's mean, and they ignore me, now I just don't like them. Now I just want you to say, no, stay out of my yard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd be a little different, like you said, if we lived, like Alex does, closer to a school, and if, you know, they had been like, hey, you know, is it okay if on school days we, you know, pass through your backyard, we stay away from, you know, the house and the dog and stuff like that, it's just quicker and safer.
Or even if parents ask.
Yeah.
Because, you know, adults.
Yeah. Then, I mean, obviously, yes. You know. But
yeah, I probably wouldn't mind.
That you can do whatever you want on somebody else's property. But there are some states and there are some, like, you know, rural areas of some states where if you step foot onto somebody's property without being invited, gonna
kind of
get shot.
Well, so we have one neighbor, so it's four kids. It's one neighbor that's directly next to us, and then another neighbor whose backyard is like kind of sort of kitty quarter connected. Now the neighbor right next to us, I feel like, even though I've done it once before, but she's half cross 90% of the day. I feel like I could talk to her and be like, hey, I can't keep saying it because I know I sound like a bitch to your kids, but I feel like I could talk to her and be like, they gotta stay out of there.
Yeah.
The other family, though, they don't even keep their dog out of my yard. I highly doubt they're going to keep the kids out. Like, they will watch the dog take a very small, deer-like, graceful leap over their fence into our yard and just leave it. They're probably not going to keep the kids out. This is why I hate people. This is why I hate living in a neighborhood. No, not white people.
Wow,
all white
racist.
People.
This is why I hate the white people.
No, like, I'm ready to... I've been looking at churches, not even gonna lie. I've been looking at churches with property because they're bigger places and you can renovate them and make them really cool. Because I feel like we just need a lot more space around us because I can hate people. Yeah.
I just want a big electric fence with, you know...
barbed wire.
motion sensitive freaking turrets. Paintball turrets.
That would be amazing. Except for the dogs outside.
No. Motion sensitive on the outside of the
fence. Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you hit Mika, she might come in and actually bite you.
No, I'm talking about like, you know, if you come within a certain, you know, distance of the outside perimeter of the fence, all of a sudden you're starting to get pelted with...
You hit a little kid right between their eyes. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no trespassing signs go a long way.
Well, we are actually getting ready to start putting up some no trespassing and beware of dog signs to keep us safe legally in case something happens.
Yeah.
So that when retaliation comes, we can be like, look, it was posted, it's been told, like, I don't know what else to do. I don't tell you. I've even put it on our neighborhood page. My dog is the least friendly animal in the neighborhood. Please keep your dogs away. Please keep your kids away.
Yeah. She's going to post them up all over the yard.
Some people are like, why do you have an aggressive dog? Because she's a bitch. I don't know what to tell you.
Because she's old and cranky.
Yeah, she doesn't like people. She's me in a dog form. She doesn't like people. Leave her alone.
My dog takes out the opposite.
I know.
One of them.
I know. He's really, really friendly.
Really friendly.
You know, it's not fun having a dog hump your head when you wake up in the morning.
No, but it's funny as fuck.
Fuck.
Especially when your husband puts the dog on.
I really thought
he
was
going to
die a couple times. Oh. Okay, that's my daily rant.
Like,
she's not
that,
mean. She's just herself.
Well,
she's
when
crazy.
That person went running through our yard, she was the first one to see it. And I've never seen her so mad at just one little thing before. Because she, got up on, our, windowsill, and, her muscles are flexing really hard, and her hairs were, 90 degrees. And she was growling and getting mad at him. Yeah, I don't know what to tell him. If she
somebody does not belong, and she's like, nope, get away.
Probably would have ran and tripped him.
Yeah. I will bite your ankles.
I mean, she does 4-year-olds. I was just trying so hard not to laugh.
She does. She's kind of a bitch. That's cool. I love her. She
that
might be kind of
was...
my favorite.
The worst part is I encourage it, too.
It's not the worst part.
It's not the worst part. It's the funniest part. What are you talking about?
Everybody's like, no, don't do that. And I'm like, you do that.
But it's funny.
Someone can tell you no.
You be your own dog. Don't let anybody
you're an you're an independent woman.
You're awesome.
Go you.
All right. So we are going to take our scheduled break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about our topic tonight, which is George Lucas. So we'll be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Yeah. Got a picture of a pretty girl on my phone, making out with some guy looking just like me. Must have passed out on the couch when I got back home. Woke up with 7 digits under my sleeve. It's all just a little bit hazy. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the taste of that tipsy whiskey kiss. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Thought I was dancing with a long-legged brunette. It's hard to tell in the neon glow. Didn't catch your name, shouting through the music. It didn't matter when she leaned in close. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the taste of that tipsy whiskey kiss. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Kimberly and Natalie, buy me a drink, I don't know. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the taste of that tipsy whiskey kiss. I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If you would like to join us tonight, all you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. That brings you directly into the studio with us, or you can hit us up on our live stream on Behind the Screen Radio Show Facebook page. Okay, so we've been doing this for 3 years. We've been on the air. Cinephiles has been on the air for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
I think Cinephiles started a year after BTS went on the air.
Probably.
So this will be our third iteration.
Yeah.
Jesus. So every year we every May we do I can't take you seriously
today. Give me a second.
This is not a fucking Zoom meeting, alright?
Your guys' phones have like double the filters mine do. My computer has. I'm getting into that shit.
I can't take you seriously with
I'm
that.
Kidding.
That's better. Okay. So Every May 4th is a huge, huge holiday for not only our family, not only this household, but for a lot of people around the world.
Yeah.
It is International Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
And we do something special every year in this house. And we also do something very special on the Cinephiles for the entire month of May. Every year during the month for the Cinephiles, we talk about the Star Wars movies. We usually start out with the original trilogy. because that's how the story started. And then we talk about the prequels, and then we're going to talk about the sequels, and then this month we're talking about the TV shows. We're going to be talking about The Mandalorian, Clone Wars, and upcoming TV shows such as The Bad Batch that will be released on May 4th, and rumors of, well, not rumors, but the upcoming Ahsoka series, starring Rosario Dawson. So, we are, some of us, are big Star Wars geeks within the family. I know that me and Alex are, you know, top of the page there. But Alex showing
really?
Off his movie accurate replica lightsaber.
Just drinking some of the dark side today.
But so this year we decided to kind of kick it off a little bit early. And we're talking about the genius creator of the Star Wars universe, George Lucas. So, George Lucas didn't exactly get his start in Star Wars. I mean, I don't know as many people know that. His first big film was THX-1138. It's a short movie made in 71. I've seen it once in my life, and I actually just found it on HBO Max today. So I know it's there.
Well, he considers that movie, THX-1138, to be the greatest achievement of his career.
And I don't blame him. It's his first big movie. It was actually very, very well received when it came out. And I mean, I don't know much about it because, again, I've seen it once and I don't remember a whole lot of it. I'm going to have to watch it again. And then right after that was American Graffiti, which was in 73. Starred Richard Dreyfuss, Ron Howard. And it was basically about, you know, high school grads, college grads in the summer of 62 in a small town, you know, small Southern California town. It was just basically about life in just in Southern California.
Yeah.
Kind of based on what he knew growing up, what he did. And that's kind of where Harrison Ford got his start. Harrison Ford, so a while back before, you know, the internet became popular, the prevailing rumor was that Harrison Ford was a set designer on Star Wars and read lines for George Lucas for one of the other auditions, and he read them so well that, you know, they cast him as Han Solo. That's not true.
Okay, Han Solo, yes. Probably true.
No.
Okay.
It's actually American Graffiti.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because that's how he got his start, was American Graffiti. With George Lucas, and he was there to, you know, basically just kind of bounce lines off of other people, and he cast him, and then he cast him in A New Hope.
Right. Well, and then, although he loved Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
He actually didn't want him for Indiana Jones. He wanted somebody new.
Right.
He wanted Tom Selleck. And Tom Selleck was already scheduled for Magnum PI at the time.
Yeah.
CBS would not agree to delay filming for Indiana Jones for Tom Selleck. So he lost out. And although he's a star for many shows,
yes,
he was never able to become a big screen star.
No, I mean, he did one big screen movie that I can remember. It's called Quigley Down Under.
I love that movie.
But Tom Selleck never really became, like you said, he never really became a big...
Not with what Indiana Jones would have given him.
Right, but if we look at what Harrison Ford brought to the Indiana Jones trilogy, well, the Indiana Jones saga now.
Yeah.
I don't know that Tom Selleck would have been able to capture the same essence.
The thing is Harrison Ford's same dry, sarcastic humor that he uses with Han Solo was perfect for Indiana Jones. And his mobility was perfect for Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a huge fan of Tom Selleck. Like, he's literally my favorite character in Blue Bloods.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it would have had the same essence.
I don't think so. I don't think it would have had the same chemistry. Because Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford, is just one of those, and you can see it in every role that he portrays. He dives into the role, but he makes it his own. I mean, Han Solo really is one of those just kind of...
He's a dick.
Man, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to get my money. I'm going to do what I want type of persona. And that's kind of the same way Indiana Jones is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just the,
he's just going to do what he's going to do.
I can't see Tom Selleck running from the ball.
No, and then if you look at it, as time progressed and the saga continued and everybody aged, I don't know that Tom Selleck's health would have allowed him to continue as long as Harrison Ford has continued with Indiana Jones.
Right.
So that's just my opinion, though.
But Indiana Jones is one of Harrison Ford's best sagas. Other than Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Indiana Jones movies. I love them. Even Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which was inarguably the worst Indiana Jones movie, but it was still really good. It's far above many, many other movies that are out there. And it the Indiana Jones saga just has that feel good, just kind of quirky, sarcastic essence to it. You know? And it is directly one part Spielberg, one part Lucas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it is just a phenomenal saga.
Now, I think it's great because, obviously, George Lucas has a very close relationship with Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, they're, like, really good friends.
He was best friends with Jim Henson when he was alive.
Yeah.
He's got a great circle, especially in his movie-making career.
Yeah. George Lucas has made a big name for himself.
For a guy who got shitty grades in high school and had his movie rejected by every studio for the longest time,
So let's go back and talk about that for a second. So Star Wars came out in 77. When he pitched it to studios in, I think, 74, 75, is when he started to pitch it to the studios, he literally went to every studio.
Yes.
And every studio turned him down. MGM, Universal, even Fox turned them down right at the beginning.
Yes.
Sci-fi wasn't really big at that time. Westerns were big at that time. And nobody really knew who George Lucas... I mean, they knew George Lucas from American Graffiti.
They didn't have hope in the movie. Like,
Yeah, there wasn't really any hope for the movie. It was about space wizards and... laser swords and, space battles and stuff like that. people were looking at it as, you know, Flash Gordon didn't really do a whole lot, and sci-fi movies were basically the stuff of drive-in movies and B-movie theaters. You know, B-movies.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to put a whole lot of faith. People didn't have faith in it. And then I don't remember his name right off the top of my head, but the executive at Fox.
Yep, 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, 20th Century Fox was like, you know what? We're going to give it a shot. And, you know, so they gave him the opportunity to do it. And George Lucas, I mean, he put his money into it, but he had a lot of money from 20th Century Fox to do it. And when
it was the highest grossing movie ever released in its time.
Yeah. It was a gigantic masterpiece. I mean, it blew everybody away. There was a lot of arguments about the credits. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed this or anybody else has ever noticed this. There are no credits at the beginning of Star Wars.
Yeah, they always have a problem with that. The director, I'll have to find where it's at, but he actually quit.
The original director or the one now?
Hold on.
Because the one now has done all three movies, all three original movies. I think he did the prequels too. Irvin Kretschner?
George Lucas directed the prequels.
Yeah, so he...
Right, yeah, yeah.
He quit the DGA because
yeah,
the opening
right.
credits in Star Wars Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back in 1980, and had no opening credits, and the DGA fined him with $250,000, which he paid, but then he quit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. He directed A New Hope, and then Episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Fined for quitting?
No.
No, he got fined because he didn't have any credits in the movie.
Yeah, he didn't have any credits at the beginning. All the credits were at the end of the movie.
George Lucas?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense to me. There's credit to whoever either way. I never got the whole putting credits in the beginning of movies. I think they were just kind of like a distraction from what was going on.
It was just at the time.
Yes, he kept
it was. Yeah, it was a big. I mean, that's how movies were done at the time, and they were giving credit to, you know, the main actors and stuff like that, so you know who's in there. The Star Wars movies are more about the movie than about the actors. You don't go to a Star Wars movie because Harrison Ford's in it. You go to a Star Wars movie because it's Star Wars. You don't care who's in it as long as it's a good movie. But
he also refuses to use, like in his posters,
mm-hmm.
things like that, he refuses to use quotes from critics.
Yeah.
Because he's just not his thing. And so a lot of the, you know, top critics have a huge problem with that. Like, he's just outside of the box when it comes to how he does his thing.
Well, his thing, and this is one thing that I really love about George Lucas, his thing, it's all about the craft. It's all about the movie. It's not about pleasing the critics. It's not about pleasing the audience. It's not about, you know, giving credit to actors. It's about the movie. It's about the story. It's about the craft. And that's what he's been since the very beginning. Since Star Wars and stuff like that, he just wants to tell a story.
Yeah.
Well,
like here's the thing. He knows what he wants, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I will say this, and we've all heard it. George Lucas is not easy to work with. He's a very stubborn person.
Yeah.
And what he wants is what he wants. And he very rarely does he bend to what somebody else suggests. Maybe Steven Spielberg, but probably not even him. I'm sure Steven knows that.
Well, Steven Spielberg's the same way.
Well, which is what I'm saying. Like, I'm sure he knows that George Lucas is the way he is. There's not really any arguing the point. Like,
yeah,
this is how it's going to be done. So just suck it up.
Yeah.
And it's
a lot of characters lost that touch, and now they're kind of getting mowed over by the big companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Point DC movies. I think a lot of directors were more stubborn with certain things. Movies would come out how they wanted.
We wouldn't need all
the Snyder cuts and stuff.
Yeah. Right, and I think we see some of that stubbornness in some of the new directors like Jordan Peele.
Yes.
His movies are not popular in concept. People have a lot of opinions about them, especially in this day and age.
Yeah.
And the climate that we're in. But he doesn't care. And he goes ahead with them, and they make an impact. Like, they're impactful movies.
Another director that's like that, kind of a lesser degree, because he basically does what he wants, is Rob Zombie.
Absolutely. And thankfully for him, though, he's got a little more freedom because he's technically an independent artist.
Right. Yeah. Whereas George Lucas, he comes in and he says, this is how I want it. And he finds a director that...
that is willing to put up with it.
Yeah, that's willing to do it. Irvin Kershner.
Yes.
He did Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And worked very well with George Lucas. I mean, I'm sure they had their tips, but it worked very well and did very well with the sequels to A New Hope.
Well, I think that if you find somebody and can just come straight, and I see him as a straightforward person and say, hey, this is what it is and this is what I want. And if you're not willing to do this, then say it now, because there's no reason to move forward.
Yeah.
But that's what I see him as, like somebody that's just going to lay it out and be like, hey, can we do this? Or do I need to find somebody else?
Yeah. It's kind of how I picture George Lucas. I don't see him as like an asshole to people. Like, you know, if I just happen to see him walking down the street and I said, you know, hey, Mr. Lucas, I love your movies. He wouldn't be like, you know, hey, fuck you, I'm better than you. But when it comes to, like, his movies and his visions and stuff like that, he's very strong-willed.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that started from the beginning.
Yeah.
When he decided to sell the movie rights but not the merchandise rights for Star Wars, it was the smartest move he could have ever made.
Well, he didn't exactly sell the movie rights.
He did.
Are you talking about the Disney later on? Or
no.
Are you talking about when he made the movie?
Yes.
I don't know that I would call it necessarily that he...
he gave a lot of the rights over and a lot of the profit over, but said, I want all merchandising rights.
Yeah.
And when he did that, that was like the most lucrative decision he could have made at the time. Back then, he wasn't hugely rich, even though he funded 3 of the movies himself. He wasn't technically hugely rich. And then merchandise started happening and people started buying. And all of that profit came to him.
Yeah.
And that man floated to the top.
Yeah. When he sat down with the executives at 20th Century Fox, he's like, okay, you can have this much of the profit of the movies, but I want 90% of the profit from
merchandise. Yeah.
And at the time, merchandising for movies was next to nothing.
Yep.
And, you know, the executives were like, okay.
Stupid man.
You know, we'll let you that hot. You're not going to get shit, but...
What?
And then,
he did. Can you imagine the first lightsabers that were sold and kids were beating the shit out of each other with them?
Star Wars was on everything. Like, so I was born when Star Wars, when A New Hope came out. So I grew up with the saga of Star Wars.
Yeah, I saw one of those movies in a theater. I don't know which. I was a little.
My dad took me to go see Return of the Jedi in the theater.
It's probably that.
When I was 6 years old.
That's probably five.
Yeah. And
we're old. We're showing our age, thanks.
And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I had so fucking many Star Wars toys, like the action figures. I had an X-Wing. I had the Darth Vader head case where you could put the action figures in.
But now look at your kids. Not Ethan so much, and really not Austin so much, but Alex has a shit ton of Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I
can see them behind him in the screen.
He's got the same posters that I do. Yeah. I mean, just, but back then, back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was unheard of to have the only other thing that had as much merchandise as Star Wars did, and the businessman behind the name did the exact same thing as George Lucas did, was Kiss and Gene Simmons.
Absolutely. He did the same thing.
Gene Simmons owns the rights to the name Kiss.
Yep.
To the band. And all merchandising rights.
From cologne and aftershave to pictures on the wall. Like,
yeah.
It's all his.
Yeah.
What made me sad, though, with Kiss was there was a time, and I don't believe the boys were with us. We went to Myrtle Beach. I don't know if Alex remembers or Austin remembers. And we got to see the Kiss Coffee House.
Yeah.
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 And it was super cool. Yeah. And then to find out if you, because we only got to go to Myrtle Beach like once or twice.
Yeah.
Which was disappointing. But it not really, because it's actually kind of accessible. But it closed down.
Yeah.
And that was the highlight of my trip there. Like it was actually a really cool place, and they had really good coffee. I'm like, not gonna lie, it was really good.
They did.
I went back there with a buddy one year, and it was like just totally gone. And I was like, oh well.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I remembered from that trip.
And it was one of the few places that I was like, oh, this is super cool. Like out of all the shops
I
went to,
I was absolutely in heaven.
I have a picture of Liam right next to a kid's guitar, all excited.
Yeah.
You know, these are kids that dressed up as the entire band of Kiss when you're for Halloween. So, yeah, you know, but we don't see that kind of merchandising with George Lucas.
No, but we see other types of merchandising.
However, we do have a whole land dedicated to his dream. Disney World, Disneyland, yes.
Disney World and Disneyland, yes.
Yes, and my goal at some point is to take Dan to at least Disney World, because his mom lives down there, and
yeah,
it's a little easier. We could probably stay with her, things like that.
I'll be going too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was definitely.
Yeah, like,
yeah. Yeah.
So I want to go there. I have a friend that I've known for a while and knew pretty close back when I was like 21. He's a huge Star Wars fan, though, and they have, every year they get passes to Disneyland because they live in California.
Yeah.
And he was there from, I remember watching it get built through his Facebook.
Uh-huh.
He would go every year and he'd take pictures to watch it get built to the moment that it opened. And he got to step foot inside this world and his excitement. And every year that he has gone, minus COVID, how excited he's been. And I see the same excitement with you guys because, like, literally, and he will probably be on an episode of Cinephiles here pretty soon.
Yeah.
But literally, he is right up there with you with Star Wars. And so I've seen the land from so many different angles. And I'm like, yeah, I got to go.
So when we do go, we're hoping that, I mean, Wicked Curiosity Media should still be operating at that point.
Hopefully less than 6 to 9 years from now.
Yeah. but yeah, we will do, you know, TikToks and live videos of me and Alex.
Everybody, because it can't just be, I mean, there's no way that we could literally go to Disney World, just the three of us. That would be horrible, and we have children that would literally never forgive us.
I swear to God.
I still hear it.
I swear to God, I'm going to run up and give Chewbacca a big old hug. Just run up and jump into
it. So I want to go to that one, but then, and I'm wondering if it's more in the actual Disney World park, or is it more Universal Studios?
What?
The Star Wars.
Galaxy's Edge? Oh,
yeah.
That's totally Disney.
Okay, so I really also want to go to the Harry Potter world.
Yeah,
I would love to take Austin to the Harry Potter world because that's kind of more our level. Like, I so badly want to go there. I want to go to Diagon Alley.
I'll be going to that, too.
Yeah.
Yes, he's like, bitch, you better be saying I'm going to.
I want a wand and I want it to do things.
Look, if we win the lottery... That's it.
That Coca-Cola bottle better fill up at some point.
But we're taking an entire summer, and we're doing nothing but Galaxy's Edge.
Harry Potter. Okay.
The rest of Disney World, I don't know.
No, listen, at least once. Because for like 2 years, I heard nothing but how angry everybody, my own kids mostly, was that I took Katie to Disney World. When she was like 4 for cheerleading competition, okay? But to be fair, when we went, we were only there for like 3 days. And 2 of those days was like typical Florida typhoon weather. And we went through Disney World wearing in rain gear.
Oh, I don't care.
All the rides were closed. So in order to keep small children from being sad, we wrote It's a Small World. And I'm making you all ride it.
It's super creepy.
They've not changed any of the animatronics ever. It's so creepy.
The Hall President.
We did not do that.
Star Tours.
However, parents, I do want to give you a fair warning. If you go to Universal Studios, which is a park, and if you get a park hopper pass, you can do that. If you have an autistic child,
not if you get a Disney World park hopper.
I went to Universal.
They're two different companies.
I totally went on a park hopper pass. I know. I was there.
Okay.
So, fair warning, if you have an autistic child who has sensory overloads and you go to the Stitch ride, and, you know, Stitch on TV is like 2 feet tall and super cute. Well, he's like 6 feet tall and not as cute, and it's dark, and your autistic child will.
You realize Lilo and Stitch is Disney, right?
Yeah, I'm just telling you where we
not
went.
Not Universal.
I'm just telling you where we went. Anyway.
It was Disney.
They strap you in, but if they're little, they can get out of that, and those seats move, and you will be holding your child by the neck of their shirt, hoping to not see them die because a 6-foot Stitch came screaming out of a hallway and scared the shit out of them in the dark. I'm just saying. Fair warning.
On the same token, I actually, when I was a kid, we did actually go to Disney World because we lived in Fort Campbell.
Okay.
And the very first Star Wars ride is Star Tours.
I've been on that.
Where you sit in a shuttlecraft.
Yes.
And you have C-3PO guiding
you. He tells you where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you actually go through the Death Star run and stuff like that.
Pretty
and
cool.
It's a moving ride. And it's actually really fucking awesome, especially as a kid. I was in heaven.
It is really cool, and especially, I kind of like it when they don't change the rides.
Yeah.
Because then you have so many that are, like, super updated, and now you've got Galaxy's Edge, which is insane.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of cool to go on these nostalgic rides.
Yeah.
And see them from, like, our point of view.
Mm-hmm.
C-3PO was super cool.
Yeah.
He was. He was, and he was just as goofy looking then as he was on screen.
Yeah. So continuing the George Lucas Star Wars, or George Lucas Disney World Disneyland connection.
And that's where I was going with that was, does he own the rights to...
No.
None of it?
No, it's all Disney now. He sold all the rights to Star Wars. Pretty much all the rights. Lucasfilm, Skywalker Sound.
Okay.
and Industrial Light and Magic.
Okay.
Which are all of his companies.
Yes.
He sold them to Disney.
Are you sure? Because he actually has plans to reissue all of the Star Wars movies in 3D versions using the dimensionalization process by Industrial Light and Magic. Yeah. Those are his plans.
They may be cooperating, but I don't think he has rights to his movies anymore.
I don't think he would. I really don't feel like he would give up every last right.
I don't know. I don't know. That would be...
That's been his baby for a lot, like 50 years.
Yeah. But going back to the George Lucas Disney connection before he sold.
Yeah.
Did you know that he did, that he wrote the screenplay for Captain EO?
I didn't.
The Michael Jackson.
That was actually pretty cool. Yeah.
Ride in Disney World and Disneyland, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah, he did,
that's pretty
he
cool.
did the screenplay for it. And he, well, no. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So we all know that George Lucas is famous for Star Wars. I mean, that's
Star Wars and Indiana Jones. That's his namesakes.
Those are his big namesakes. However,
I just wanted fun fact because it made me really sad. He completely disowned Howard the Duck. Completely disowned it.
It's just like he did the Star Wars
Christmas special?
Special.
Okay, well, that one was weird. But Howard the Duck? Like, why would you disown that?
Because it's Howard the Duck.
I loved Howard the Duck.
It's
Alex,
Howard,
have you seen Howard the Duck?
The Duck. Alex, can you hear us? That was
Austin, have you seen Howard the Duck?
Hmm?
Have you seen Howard the Duck?
No.
I swear to God you have.
I don't want to plan to.
No. I love that movie.
Did he direct Howard the Duck?
Probably.
I don't know. All it says that he disowned it. And which means it had to have been one of his movies.
Hold on.
Also, did you know he's diabetic? And his name backwards is Igrog Sakul, which is also used in the Disney theme park ride Star Tours.
There he is. We've got him back.
Did you know that?
Huh. So he had absolutely nothing to do with Howard the Duck.
He had to have something to do with it because it literally says in here that he disowned Howard the Duck after the film's release.
Maybe he was a producer.
Maybe they took him on, since he disowned it. His name is not on it.
I don't know. Was he a... Okay. He was an executive producer for Howard the Duck.
There you go. But he was like, nah, it's not mine.
Okay. Okay. So, we all know that he was, again, you know, Star Wars and Indiana Jones. Those are his two biggest claim to fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
But... I don't know how many people know this, but he actually wrote the story for Willow. The screenplay was done by Bob Dolman. It was directed by Ron Howard, but he actually wrote the story for Willow.
I did not know that.
Yeah. George Lucas actually wrote Willow. And it was adapted, you know, for the screen by Rob Dolman and then directed by Ron Howard, who is an absolutely fantastic director. And they
right.
they worked together in American Graffiti. Ron Howard was an actor in American Graffiti that George Lucas directed and wrote.
Which are his, I think those four movies are obviously his biggest movies.
What's that?
Star Wars, THX, American Graffiti, and Indiana Jones.
Willow's actually a pretty big movie. Alex, you've seen Willow, haven't you?
Not that I can remember. No.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Who are these kids?
No. Not that I know of. I probably watched it, but I don't remember it.
And it's funny because Warwick Davis actually starred in Willow, and he was Wicket in Return of the Jedi. And he was also Wicket in...
I loved Wicket.
Episode 9.
My favorite.
Rise of Skywalker. So, and then, of course, every, like, Indiana Jones, the Adventures of Young Indiana Jones, he did a lot of story. You know, he wrote a lot of stories for them. Just about, I mean, every single Star Wars video game and everything that has been put out, you know, has his credit on because it's all his characters. He even has the credit for... Phineas and Ferb Star Wars.
Well, so he's also a huge fan of Family Guy, and so occasionally he allows them to do Star Wars skits.
Okay, so Family Guy actually did 3 movies.
Yes, because he's a fan.
Yeah, which totally makes sense, because it totally makes sense that Family Guy would spoof Star Wars.
Yes.
Because they have, I mean, Seth MacFarlane, number one, is... I mean, just a phenomenal writer and director. And, you know, he also branched out from Family Guy to American Dad, Cleveland Show, and The Orville. And he's also done...
It's actually really sad that The Orville, like, just disappeared.
I think there's another series, a season coming.
Okay.
He also did, what is it, The Magnificent Eight?
Magnificent Seven.
Is it The Magnificent Seven? And
The Hateful Eight is the parody.
Yeah.
He did the parody.
Oh, that's Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
And then
I think Hateful Eight's the serious one and The Magnificent Seven is a spoof.
I don't know.
So, hold on.
And they also did Ted.
So, did you
know... Million Ways to Die.
What's that?
Yeah, Million Ways to Die in the West.
Okay. Did you know Lucasfilm's computer graphics division was sold to Apple Computer co-founder, to Steve Jobs, which later became Pixar?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he created the design for Pixar.
I always liked Pixar movies.
I can't find it in here. That's all right. He was also the creator of the blue screen effect.
Yeah.
Which is now the green screen. And he was also, I don't want to say the creator, and Alex, you can correct me on this. But he also... was one of the founding fathers of CGI.
I think he used it. He was like one of the more like experimental people with it. I wouldn't say he was a big part of the creation, but I think he used it kind of as like a guinea pig test for it.
Do you think that his studio was a big part of the creation, though? What is that?
Yeah, his studio, but him using it in his movies was, like, the test. But, yeah, Industrial Light and Magic kind of helped with it, helped pioneer
yeah.
it.
They also developed the concept of surround sound. Because anytime you see, like, THX, Dolby Surround,
yeah.
That's George Lucas. George Lucas created the THX sound for his movies. It's funny because all these companies that they're now, Skywalker Sound, Industrial Light and Magic, Lucasfilm, THX, all of these were created out of necessity for him to do his best work on his movies. He had to create Industrial Light and Magic to do the special effects in Star Wars.
Right.
Same thing with Skywalker Sound and THX, so that he could get the best sounds for the movies. And then the computer graphics company, Pixar, that was done, I think that was just done out of, hey, can we do it? And then, you know, they sold it from there. So, but
The Magnificent Seven is a remake of the old Western from the 50s or from the 40s.
Okay.
And The Hateful Eight is just like a, can we do the same thing and have the success off of it that Quentin Tarantino wanted to do? The Ridiculous Six is the parody.
Okay.
So there are so many of those movies, and they all came out in the same 10-year span.
Yeah. It's probably why my brain got, all, you know, walkified. So, let's see. I'm trying to see. So he actually had a hand in the Mandalorian TV series that was done by Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau. There were quite a few times that George Lucas was on set during the filming for, like, continuity purposes.
Right.
And, you know, for them to be like, hey, is this where your vision would go?
He also made the Clone Wars.
He did. He created the Clone Wars TV series, the not the 2D one, the 3D one.
Yeah, the Star Wars, the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
That came out in 2008. Well, it came out as a movie, and then they made a show about it.
Which,
but,
for me, go ahead.
No, that was, I'm good.
Okay. For me, the Clone Wars TV series, while it had its slow points in it, to me it kind of really expanded on the prequel saga.
I think it really boosted it. For sure. I know we got a glimpse of it in Attack of the Clones, like what the Clone Wars was, and then a little bit in Episode 3. But we never actually got to see, like, how bad it was and, like, what some of the clones and Jedi, like, did during the war.
Yeah.
So I think it definitely worked as a TV series rather than them doing a whole movie about the Clone Wars. But, yeah, it was one of those things where it was, like, a, what's it called? Something for not only Dave Filoni, but and George Lucas to expand and then experiment with the lore of Star Wars. And that's where we get a lot of our lore in Star Wars, is from Clone Wars. So.
And I completely agree with you on that. The Clone Wars was not only an expansion on the movie The Clone Wars leading up to Return of the Revenge of the Sith, it also showed us kind of the downfall of the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
And, you know, where the Jedi Order went wrong in not only their handling of Anakin Skywalker, but just the dealings of the Republic and how they allowed the Emperor to come to power, and how the Jedi Order actually allowed the events of Episode 3 and 4 to happen.
Yeah. As a explanation on an explanation, which was needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are movies out there in Star Wars lore that really aren't needed. You know, and of course we're going to get into those later on in the month. But I'm very glad because George Lucas has been wanting a Star Wars television series for a very long time. He was in talks many, many, many years ago. I would even venture to say decades ago, about doing a live-action Star Wars TV show that was focused on the Empire, and I think it was set in the time between episodes 4 and 5, because there's a little bit of time between 4 and 5. It might have been right before episode 4, but I think it was between 4 and 5, where they were talking about a live-action Star Wars show, again, focused on the Empire. But, you know, TV studios weren't willing to pick it up at the time.
Yeah, and I think Star Wars is something that needs a, like, modern technology touch. Like, the classics, like, the original trilogy, they do just fine, but those are movie budget, like, projects, so they can kind of do what they want. But, like, with the TV series, you're kind of limited with what you have. But I think what they did with The Mandalorian, with the back screen, like, the screen things, I don't remember what they were called, but the...
those moving screens in the back.
Yeah, those are kind of experimental nowadays. Of course, they had stuff like that back in, like, the 30s. But it's not as high-tech and as... It doesn't look as good as it does now. And I think they used that to great advantage in this series, in The Mandalorian. And they're even going on to use them in the new Thor movie. So I think that's going to be kind of like the new blue screen, green screen, like a new age for that.
And I'm hoping so. Star Wars is the Star Wars saga, and the way that the directors and the producers film Star Wars has always been innovative in creating new technologies for adapting the story to on screen. George Lucas did it for episodes 4, 5, and 6. And then in episodes 1, 2, and 3, especially episode 1, he relied very heavily on CGI, but he also still relied a lot on practical effects. The pod racing scene, all the people in the stands were all painted Q-tips.
Yeah. I think that's something he sort of had to do, like, in terms of the CGI, because you can't capture that sort of scale with extras and stuff. Like, you can with the Rebels and Empire, because, yeah, we know the Empire's massive. We don't really need a representation for that. But to have just a bunch of Rebels in a room, it's like, yeah, it's a guerrilla group. Like, that's who they are. But whenever you have two massive factions going against each other, you need something more than just extras and practical effects. And I think he tried it, and it didn't go as planned, but I can still respect that he tried to show us the scale of, like, what went on.
Right. Well, if you look at the technology at the time and what he had to work with, they actually did very well. Because I remember when Phantom Menace came out, and I remember going to see it. I was actually stationed in Cuba at the time and went to the drive-in theater in Cuba when it came out in 99. And to me, it was, you know, the use of the technology that he had available was absolutely phenomenal. He was always on the cutting edge of movie making. And he also still likes to use practical effects. George Lucas is one of those, he'll use practical effects where he can, and he'll use computer imagery where it's needed.
Yeah, especially the sequels and The Mandalorian did something that I was really hoping they were going to do, because I thought it was going to be a big old, like, you're stupid if you don't. So Star Wars fans have taken upon themselves to make their own lightsabers that look phenomenal, and they're very expensive, like thousands of dollars. And you can, they're very durable, and, like, they're meant for, like, it's an actual sport. Like, you go and beat the crap out of somebody with a couple $1,000 lightsaber.
Yeah.
And they turned it into this whole sport. And Disney never, like, got into that market, like, with Star Wars. But then they did. And in the sequels, they used them a little bit. Like, they outsourced to different companies that made them. But in The Mandalorian, they really did. Like, Ahsoka's lightsabers, like, they're actually lighting up the area around her. But they just put effects over it to make it look like an actual lightsaber.
Yeah.
Just give that extra boost. The Luke Skywalker scene, that's an actual green lightsaber that that actor is holding, and it's giving off that green light. And you don't need this wire going to a battery pack on your belt. It's literally just in the handle of the lightsaber. They did it with the darksaber. It's just they're doing all these things that are needed, and it just looks fantastic. And I can't wait to see how they explore it more and how they can do mixed practical with CGI. And I think that's what Star Wars is. It's like mixing practical with CG or computer, artificial.
And that's one thing that I loved about how George Lucas did his films. And that's one thing that disappointed me greatly in the sequel trilogies. You know, other than the storylines being just absolutely crap. Is that George Lucas, he doesn't give into fanfare, and he basically kind of does, and we mentioned this earlier, he kind of does what he wants when it comes to filming. He's going to use the best tool for the project.
Yeah.
If practical effects look better, he's going to use practical effects. If CGI is going to work better, it's going to give him the look that he wants, he's going to use CGI. He has that perfect balance of both in creating his movies.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about for a minute, because, you know, we've got about 25 minutes left. I want to talk about the impact of George Lucas on an entire, God, I can't even say an entire generation, because it's been two or three, even four generations of kids and adults that he has impacted. Alex was mentioning it briefly. There is an actual sport. It's not in the Olympics, but I don't see it being far off, honestly. There are actual dojos where they will teach you lightsaber fighting combat.
You can actually learn that at Disney World, too.
Yeah. And it's an actual fighting style. And there are companies out there that, you know, for a good amount of money will create these lightsabers. You got Ultra Saber, Saber Forge, Kyber Sabers that will create combat-ready lightsabers that actually light up and will make the sounds when you light them up and when they hit. And you can actually fight with them. And it's not just, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19 year olds that are doing this. These are people of our generation.
No, I was expecting your generation.
Yeah. Well, you've got like all different generations. You've got Generation X that's doing it. You've got Millennials. You've got Gen Z. All these different generations that are in there, and there are tons of YouTube videos out there that you can look at where people are actually dueling with lightsabers, and it's the impact that his movies and, you know, his lore and his universe has had on people. There's an established, recognized Jedi religion.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like, when I say established, you can, in the military, you can have it on your dog tags as your religion is Jedi.
I think the only other thing that's come close to that is Star Trek and being able to learn, what was it, Klingon?
Yes. Yeah, there's an established Klingon language.
Game of Thrones with Dothraki, being able to actually learn Dothraki as a language. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
I'm all
of those languages have
it.
Real languages that
yeah.
people have written.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Like, I would love if we, like, adopted that more into, not real-life business, but, like...
In society
more
in general.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
when you look at...
I want to walk around in a full suit of Beskar. That'd be so cool. Dress how I want, walk around like I'm Boba Fett.
Have the Mandalorian code.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, there's a place for that. It's called Comic-Con.
Well,
and Fanboy Expo.
Yeah. Imagine just walking around the grocery store. This is the way. Do you know where the butter is? It is that way.
This is the way?
Yes.
This is the way.
Quite sure.
Come, follow me. This is the way.
Don't you have to wear masks, though? I'm pretty sure you can just do that.
You just wear a Boba Fett helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I have that. I have an Infinity Gauntlet.
Just walk around with your Infinity Gauntlet. I am inevitable.
I might punch you then.
The thing is when we look at all these different genres that have impacted people's lives, like you said, Star Trek, with Klingon, with learning Klingon and like kind of going down the Vulcan way with logic and stuff like that. You look at Star Wars, where people are basing their lives on the Code of the Jedi. And even Game of Thrones, because the Dothraki, while they're violent people, they do live by a code of honor.
Yeah.
It's almost very much like the old religions and the old societies that we had, you know, back hundreds and hundreds of years ago. If you look at like the Klingons and the Dothraki, their societies are based on honor and prowess and stuff like that. And a lot of that is almost very much akin to the Viking code. You look at the Vulcan lifestyle and their propensity towards logic. It's more kind of like Buddhism and Taoism and stuff like that. So it's, and I agree with you, Alex, that we need to I don't think the world would be... I think it would be a better place if we started looking more at these sagas and these universes.
Or if we just had, like, a George Lucas mentality. Like, we can do what we want. Like, this is me. This is how I'm going to do this certain thing. Now, that could be a bad thing if everybody's stubborn, but... I don't know.
Well, if it's for the betterment of the people, because that's kind of what George Lucas does, is he has a vision, and this is how he's going to do his vision.
Don't let somebody affect the way you think about something. Just
exactly.
Because, like, if you have a vision and you have a goal, just do it. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
I think that's all based on perspective still, though. That's, I'm pretty sure that's how every single person thinks, whether they're doing something good or bad.
Not the directors of Disney. They just get walked over.
Kathleen Kennedy just comes and says, I want it this way. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you're going to pay me millions of dollars? Okay.
I
don't care
how
the movie turns out.
Society in general would be a little different if we kind of took a page out of some of these characters' notebooks. Like, you know, let's not base our opinions and our thoughts and how we live our life solely on what somebody tells us we need to do. There are so many people out there that will base their life off of what media tells them to do.
Yeah, so I see it as like take Yoda's wisdom for an example. That not only applies to Luke Skywalker, like that has like a double, kind of a double meaning for other people. Like, you don't have to take advice solely off of a nonfiction character just because they exist. Like, if you think that what certain characters in whatever you watch are doing, then yeah, because obviously that had to come from some real thought that somebody had. But
I mean, yeah. one of the greatest lines, the greatest words of wisdom that, you know, has come from like our generation, came from Yoda. You know, I don't know a single person in our generation that does not know the phrase "do or do not." There is no try.
I put a Yoda
you know,
quote as my senior quote in the yearbook.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which
I
one
was
it?
It wasn't that one. It might have been. I think it was failure is the greatest teacher, but however Yoda said it. I still never got my yearbook. I'm kind of mad about that.
What?
Eh, whatever. I'm sure it'll get to me soon.
The greatest teacher failure is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They better put it in like that. If they didn't, I would be kind of mad. But it's not like I'm going to know. But yeah, I mean, George Lucas has influence with the way he writes things over people's lives.
Yeah. And
it might not be real world problems, but it can be applied to real world thought.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're going to solve world peace by speaking quotes from Yoda, but just like the little things. Just get you through the day.
We're not going to solve world peace by speaking halfway backwards.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, there are so many Yoda quotes from Yoda that you know you can apply to everyday life. You will know the good from the bad when you are calm and at peace. I mean, that can be applied to, you know, people in your life. You know, when you are at peace within yourself, when you are at calm within yourself, you will know the good people from the bad people, the people that
things. That's not just Star Wars ideology. That's, was it Buddhist monks and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I guess their thought and the way they live their life. So even if you don't want to take it from Star Wars, you can take it from what it was inspired by.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can actually influence the way that we treat ourselves and the way that we treat other people. One of the biggest ones is, you know, when Yoda says, size matters not, look at me, judge me by my size, do you? You know, just because someone is short, or just because somebody is chubby, or just because somebody is thin, doesn't mean that they can't perform the job that you need them to perform, or doesn't mean that they can't live, you know, the life that they're supposed to live. So, I mean, there's a lot to be taken from George Lucas and from his movies and from, you know, just the way that the characters interact with each other. One thing we didn't touch on, we'll probably touch on later on in the month, is the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin. The deeper relationship, other than just Master and Padawan. So, but, all right, so we only have a few minutes left. I do want to thank everybody tonight. I want to thank all of my hosts for joining me, Miss Angel.
Of course.
Austin for, you know, coming in a little bit later after the technical difficulties were taken care of. Thank you, Austin.
Hello.
And Alex for joining us tonight.
Yep.
So, and, you know, I want to definitely thank all of our listeners, all of our followers, and all of our supporters. We greatly appreciate all of you. And we love you for what you do. All right. Coming up this week on WC Media, Note by Note is coming back Friday at a new time with a new host at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 1 p.m. Pacific. Guy Glasses will be back Friday.
Yes, with a new host.
Yes.
And actually a local artist named Mike Snodgrass.
Yes.
Very excited for that.
And then Sunday, we will be back for Movie of the Week. Don't know what movie we're doing yet, but we'll find one. And then Tuesday, Falling from Grace. And then next Wednesday for Back Here for the Cinephiles. Next Wednesday on the Cinephiles, we will be continuing our discussion and starting off Star Wars month, because it is the 5th, which would be right after the 4th.
Right.
And we will start with the original trilogy, the original Star Wars trilogy. So stay tuned for that. Should be kind of exciting. All right. As we wind down, I do want to say, please support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. don't judge the 99% by the 1%. As always, ladies and gentlemen, please, please be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we will broadcast on with Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast. Every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles. And every Friday night for Note by Note. We hope you all have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday night. Wonderful rest of your week. For WCM, we'll see you back here Friday for Note by Note. And for BTS, we'll see you back here Wednesday for Movie of the Week.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right. We hope you all have a good night, and we will see you all later. All right. Find a song to take us out. All right. Y'all have a good night.
Your face, I wish my lips could touch your lips, with my arms I would embrace, and you could wrap yours around my head. Why can't we be together? Why can't this be forever? Don't you run away from me, I know it's really hard to see, but maybe you belong with me, please don't run away from me. Touch your lips, with my arms I would embrace, and you could wrap yours around my head. Why can't we be together? Why can't this be forever? Don't you run away from me, I know it's really hard to see, but baby you belong with me. Yeah.
memories cast them away. And try to love someone else. Love someone else as you do yourself. You undo others as they do to you. If you do one better than they might do it too. You need to find happiness. Kick off your shoes and take a little rest and you'll find you're better than in your chest and your-